Witches and mortals seldom do mix, but when mixed marriage is on the cards, insanity pursues with the classic 60s sitcom Bewitched, with your co-hosts, Vicky Ray, Rod Labby, and Keith Chandler. Witches have never been so exposed before.
Hello, welcome to the Literary License Podcast, and today we're discussing Bewitched, Season 1, Episodes 25 through 28. And before we get started, let's find out who's with us. We got Jesse Fultz with us. Hello, Jesse.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Wake up, Jess.
Wake up. And we got Vicky Ray. Hello, Vicky.
Hi, everybody.
And myself, Keith Chago. And before we get started, let's find out what we've been up to since last time we spoke to you. Starting with Vicky, what have you been up to?
Not much. Well, Texas is kind of open again, so we're trying to, you know, get back to where we were before all this other crazy happened. Asher's doing all of his nationals and racing season for BMX is back in. So we've been kind of, you know, shut in with that and just watching my usual Netflix and waiting patiently to take Asher to go see King Kong versus Godzilla, even though it might be cheesy, even with a good CGI and everything, because he likes it and it's going to be cool looking on the big screen. So I'm willing to throw that money away just to make him happy. Joe thinks I should wait and watch it on HBO Max, but the big TV just doesn't do it justice, Joe.
No, I think some films you have to see. I think that's also in 3D, isn't it?
I don't know. I just know that we watched the other ones, and when I was little, who didn't like King Kong versus Godzilla? Not unless they want to cancel King Kong out. I mean, I'm sure he'll be, you know, considered not viable after a while. Or Godzilla, well, for that matter.
I think King Kong versus Godzilla, isn't that the BLM going against the liberal Nancy Pelosi?
Oh, my Lord. No comment.
Anyway, moving right along. What are you up to, Jesse?
Oh, well, mostly just school. I applied for a scholarship today, sent it into the school. And I've just really been catching up on a bunch of schoolwork. And it's close to midterm, so it's been really heavy, a heavy load lately. So, yeah, just crazy.
Using that brain, you're just not a pretty thing to look at anymore. You've got a mind. We could appreciate Jesse for his mind now, and not just think of him as eye candy.
Oh, geez, please.
Let's see, with myself, just work mainly. Got 2 weeks off coming up, so I got one more week of work, so yay, finally. And I watched the Netflix series, Behind Her Eyes, which is interesting.
I haven't seen that yet.
What is that?
It's a English series. I don't want to give too much away, but it's it builds and builds and builds. And the last episode is bloody fantastic. It just twists and twists and twists and the twists.
A lot of the horror forums on Facebook are suggesting it. They said you either love it or you hate it. I haven't seen it yet, but they say it's a slow burn kind of, I guess.
Yeah, it's a slow burn. I mean, to be honest, I mean, you probably could do without two episodes in it. They could cut it down, but it's still good. I mean, you can watch it. You can binge it in one night.
I still watch A Discovery of Witches on Shudder. I love that. It's a great show.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Cute.
I can't.
Well, I want to see. Is it good? I wanted to see that. What? I wanted to see that for my list.
Discovery Witches.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic. I love it. Yeah, totally love that.
Is it on Netflix?
It's a Shudder. I think it's on Amazon Prime, but it's a Shudder original.
Oh, okay.
In the UK, it's Sky. It's a regular premiere here on the UK channel here.
I love it.
Okay.
And it's got really good acting. And it's like an intelligent version of Witches sort of thing as well. It's done intelligently. And besides that, I've been watching the Odds and Ends. I'm almost done with Vampire Diaries. I'm in my last season now. So I've actually binge-watched that all the way through.
I binge-watched it the first time. And I really got disappointed towards the end of the sixth season and then the seventh season. And then things kind of picked up. I really wasn't happy with the ending, but you'll understand when you get to it. Because, you know, I mean, they did the other series, like, you know, Legacies and the Originals is fantastic. I mean, just absolutely. I mean, I think sometimes the Originals is better than Vampire Diaries sometimes, because I just love Klaus. He's like, Klaus is a badass. He's so evil, but he does it so well. So,
Yeah, I think, I mean, but then I think Vampire Diaries pretty much starts at high school, doesn't it? And then goes forward. And then so you're watching these people go to adult.
We're 30.
Where the originals is more about.
They're not, actually, they were in their 20s when they were doing that. They were not in their 30s. Now
sometimes, between 20s or 30s. They usually pick actors that age. It's very rare.
Well, Somerhalder's doing that. What is it? V on Netflix. And I keep forgetting to start that up again too.
B Wars. I think it's only done one season. I don't think it's coming back for another I'm really enjoying it. I think as I said in previous episodes, I thought it was going to be crap because I really hate the Twilight. And I kept telling you
it was good.
I mean, it keeps the edge of your seat. The main characters don't end up being main for long. They kill people off left, right, and center. So it's just like God. So you just never know who's going to make it to the end, which I quite like, actually.
Is there a series? I heard there was a series coming out based off of Anne Rice's series. I'm tired. I don't remember the name of
Interview
it. What is that?
Interview with the Vampire.
Like, popular.
Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah. Isn't there a series? Isn't there a series?
Well, the thing is that I know that Anne Rice is doing a series, and there's talk that it might be the Vampire one. But there's also talk it might not be the Vampire one. I'm hoping if they're going to do when they do Mayfair Witches.
Yeah.
That booklet was so much better than the Vampire.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Yeah, and it's different too, and it's not exhausted.
I've always wanted them to do that really cool. I've always wanted them to do a really dark series for the East. Is it Eastwick? Witches of Eastwick? Yeah. Instead of like that one movie that they did a long time ago from what, the 80s or something. I don't even know the 90s.
Well, they did do a TV show called Witches of Eastwick as well.
Yeah, I don't think it did well.
I don't remember.
It was kind of like a soap opera kind of thing. It wasn't, I didn't have the same oomph to it. But you know, if they do the vampire thing, fine. But I would personally like to do, The Witching Hour was just fantastic. The Mayfair Witches, because the thing is, there are witches, but they were cursed at the same time.
Yeah.
And so you had all that, and you kept having to go back in time, and they're all incestuous.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, not going to be for little kids. And it's going to be an adult series.
Yeah, so that was very, very good. So, but
that would explain why witches are deformed.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I had difficulty with the vampire ones, is because Anne Rice went on to Lestat, and he was the most annoying character because he was so full of himself. So, it was a bit like Robinson Crusoe, basically, where, you know, that we did last week.
I'm
so bloody wonderful. I'm wonderful. I'm great. It's like, stake yourself in the heart.
Narcissistic.
Yeah, and Lestat was narcissistic as well. So, but besides that, not that much. Next week, Money Heist producers and directors have got a new series coming on Netflix called Sky Rojo, which I'm looking forward to that. So I'm waiting on tenterhooks for that. And then the Resident Evil series that's coming out on Netflix as well.
Yeah.
When?
A couple weeks.
We're expecting it in May.
What? I didn't know it was coming. I thought it was
Who did they get to do the lead character in that? Who's the lead?
It's going to be Chris Redfield and Wesker and all the classic characters in this thing. So, and it's but they're going to spin it off with a one-off Netflix CGI animated film first, and then it goes into live action.
So, is it that's interesting. I didn't know. Yeah, I didn't know, but I knew that they were making one. I just didn't realize that it was being released on so soon.
Yeah. So it should be on its way. And then, of course, The Boys is filming now. So.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. I cannot get enough of that
show. Yeah, me too.
So love The Boys. I can't sing its praises enough.
Well, the people who did The Boys, the same people who did Supernatural. So all the writers and all the people that were involved in Supernatural now hopped over to The Boys.
Well, that's why they're bringing back Jensen Ackles, or Ackles, right. Or however you pronounce his last name.
Yeah, Jensen Ackles, yeah. So.
But aren't they, is it, okay, no, the other, doing Walker, Texas Ranger. I have not seen the reboot of the series, but he played, he was Jensen.
Oh, the other one. Jared Padalecki.
Yeah. Yeah, they're redoing, but they, I don't know if it's supposed to be a PC Texas Walker Ranger that they're going to put out, or if it's because I mean, it's just, you know, the border's violent. That's the way it is down here. So I don't know how they're going to sugarcoat that.
Out of all, I mean, all the shows to reboot, I'm actually surprised they actually decided to reboot that one.
I don't. Yeah, I saw him. I just caught the tail end of an interview one day where he was on and he's going to be that. And I mean, I guess that they got their blessing from, you know, the big guy to redo Chuck the series. Yeah. Chuck Norris. And I'm just trying to figure out, you know, what it's going to be like. I'll probably watch the pilot at least, though.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. I mean, and then Dynasty, for Dynasty to come on. Yay, I love Dynasty.
It's what?
Dynasty, the new Dynasty.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, my God. I know, but I just miss Alexis Carrington.
Yeah, but you should watch the new one. The new one is so much fun. I mean, it's a total piss take of it all. But I mean, but it just goes, and I have to say, the storylines go really, really quickly. And just to watch it for Elizabeth Gillies, she's freaking fantastic. I love her. So on that note, let's talk about Bewitched. And we'll start with episode 25, which is Pleasure O'Reilly. Flirtatious neighbor Pleasure O'Reilly, played by Kip Hamilton, moves in next door to the Stevenses. Samantha doesn't really appreciate Pleasure's ignorantly blissful, helpless girl demeanor, or Darren seemingly fawning over her at her beck and call because of it. Her incredibly jealous boyfriend, Thunderbolt Swenson, played by Ken Scott, mistakenly suspects both Darren and Abner Kravitz of improprieties.
Gladys. This one really totally cracked me up. I don't know about y'all. I mean, it was just, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if maybe because our minds are dirtier in 2021. You know, when I hear, what was her last name? Pleasure, what was her last name?
O'Reilly.
Her name was, yeah, Pleasure O'Reilly. I mean, that just sounds like a stripper or a hooker name or a porno.
Yeah, no, it does.
Pleasure O'Reilly.
Straight up.
The casting couch came to mind as soon as I heard it. But it was such a funny episode, though.
But even the way she dresses.
Yeah. I mean,
she's like, you know, da 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 da. And the only thing missing was the tassels.
I know. And she's got that swing when she walks. And so she's a beautiful woman, you know, and you knew that. And Samantha's so, you know, being so not glib. What's the word? She's tolerant. She knows her husband is weak and he's going to look and she forgives him for it anyway, you know, because.
Well, also, it's almost as if Samantha's aware of the fact that Pleasure's kind of an idiot and won't realize that she's being sarcastic to her because the way she interacts with her, like anyone would know she was being sarcastic, but she doesn't because she's such a ditz.
Yeah. She's got that. She's got all those trophies. One's like of her legs and the other one's got lips on
seen the lips on it, I started to crack up because they were so cheesy.
It was a fun episode though, because you even got Abner, you know, Kravitz in on the you know, where he's starting to look out the window with Gladys now, you know, because she's dropping things all day, apparently, and moving into her home next door to the Stevensons because she probably wants his attention because she's kind of like warm for Darren's form, I'm assuming. And then he finally goes over there.
But why?
I don't know. That's
isn't about Darren.
Back
it
then.
Makes no sense. They're doing that again with Darren to make
he's endearing. That's what it is. And I mean, you know, coming like, you know, many.
If you know him, ago, I guess.
Well, you know, women find that endearing when you know a guy's just besotted like a fool. And, you know, you could pretty much get him to do anything. And that's what, you know, is so funny about it, because I don't think that Pleasure is as stupid as she's acting. She knows exactly what she's doing and she's playing everybody. I don't care. She's not dumb.
And you too, Mrs. Stevens.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, she's basically, you know, I mean, around this time as well, there's a lot of these sex kitten movies and stuff like that. And, you know, she was basically a sex kitten, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Pleasure O'Reilly.
Yeah,
I mean, if they made this into a movie back in the day, part would have been played by Anne Margaret.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, definitely.
Kitten in heels.
Yeah, well, she was. I don't know. I just think it's funny watching Darren, you know, get all whatever, you know, he's all jumbly and bumbly.
Flustered,
you know, and then his wife comes over and she's just looking there with that smug look because she knows what's going on. And he's, you know, he can't really hide it because it's like, I'm weak. You know, I can't help it. I'm looking. And then you got Abner, a poor man gets punched in the face because the football player thinks that he's the one messing with her. What was his name again? Thor. What was the name of that football team?
Roman something. I don't even remember either. Something really silly.
That's going to drive me nuts. I got to look up that football team.
I mean, it was a cute episode. I have to sit there and say, though, it's probably, even though it's a fun episode and a cute episode, I have to sit there and say, though, as far as
substance.
Samantha kind of does act up. No, she kind of does act out of character in this one.
A little bit.
Because she kind of just played like this.
I thought so, too. It was
finally.
Well, let's face it. It's
I
her
thought
husband.
So too,
women
but it's still amazing.
Women get territorial. Mm. It's normal.
Oh, yeah, I know. But the thing is like, because we've seen Samantha in situations like this before with Darren.
With that
and she's always kind of risen
was
above
the paralegal or whatever.
Yeah, there's, or, you know, the one who's doing the magazine article. We also had the pilot episode where it's Darren's ex-girlfriend there at dinner. And she's always kind of risen slightly above it, where this time she doesn't rise above it, which just makes a really fun episode. But if you look at her, you kind of think, okay, well, this is kind of out of character. We haven't seen you act like this before. But it's a fun little episode.
But if you notice, though, the beauty queen does move next door. And like everybody else that comes in and out of their lives, she's never heard from again. You know,
I think Pleasure O'Reilly, I'm not sure if that character comes back or Pleasure O'Reilly's sister comes into town.
Oh, God.
That one,
I can't remember.
An episode coming up.
I think it's her sister.
I don't know if it's. Yeah, it's actually episode 30.
Really?
It's called George the Warlock. And while Darren spends time with neighbor Pleasure O'Reilly's sister, Dora, D.D. Danger O'Reilly. So we don't get to see Pleasure O'Reilly, but Pleasure O'Reilly's sister comes and lives at Pleasure O'Reilly's house named D.D. Danger, which I don't know if that's her bra size. D.D. That's for the D.D.
Oh, come on, people had a sense of humor back then.
It was like that movie, that Piranha 3D. It was that the sequel to Piranha in 3D was Piranha 3DD.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
That was such a cheesy movie. That was up there with Sharknado. But I love all the Sharknado movies. I don't care. They're just fun to watch. So
I haven't seen them. I can't bring myself to watch them.
Oh, they're fun. They're just fun to watch. And there's a lot of stars in them. You'd be surprised who they get roped into being in the Sharknado movies.
There was one of the female people went out in Vegas when I went one time a few years ago. What's her name? She's like one of Tara Reid, I think. She's in Sharknado, isn't she?
I know you're talking about.
She's in Tara Reid, John from the American Pie movie. She's in Sharknado.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Yeah, she was in Vegas, like doing some kind of like hotel thing with like signings or whatever. They were setting up like the velvet rope as we were leaving or going. I don't remember, but I wasn't aware of Sharknado, so I didn't really care. And I thought it was like generic actress, so I didn't care.
A generic actress.
Sorry, Tara Reid. Sorry.
I don't know. I thought it was nice though, because Samantha, you know, kind of showed her claws a little bit. So she does get jealous, but her husband acts like a total dipshit. You know how men just get around, they get flustered around beautiful women sometimes, and it's kind of funny to watch, I have to admit.
But I personally think Samantha's way, way more attractive than Pleasure O'Reilly. That's just my opinion. So I don't understand why Darren would get all hot and flustered and like be tripping on his shoes over Pleasure O'Reilly. She's such a ditz too. I mean, I don't think stupidity is an attractive trait, so I don't get it.
You've been hiding yourself in America then lately, haven't you?
Well, this brings us to episode number 26, Driving is the Only Way to Fly. After an argument while he's teaching her to drive, Darren enrolls Samantha in a driving school. The owner, Paul Breyer, assigns his nervous brother-in-law, Harold, played by Paul, and to teacher Samantha, gives Harold a little self-confidence. This was actually filmed on February 5th, 1965. And of course, if you are a fan, Paul Lynn does return as Uncle Arthur starting in season two.
Yeah. Oh my God. I was so glad. I do not recall when I was younger watching this episode. So it was like fresh completely for me. And I love Paul Lynn anyway. And I love him as Uncle Arthur. And this is like, oh, I got all excited. I squealed. Seriously. Scott goes, what are you watching? I go, look, it's Paul Lynn. He's on this episode. I've never seen it before. So when I seen him, I just kind of squealed a little bit. But he was so funny. And so, I don't know. I wonder if he ad-libbed his lines sometimes, because he just seems like one of those off the cuff kind of Robin Williams kind of people you could work with. You know what I mean? Not like Robin Williams, but same kind of mentality and approach to comedy, because he's just so funny. I mean, I look at him, I laugh because I know he's funny. He doesn't even really have to say much, you know, and he's eating those large cookies that are supposed to be tranquilizers. And I still don't understand. Are they tranquilizers?
Julia needs those.
Are they just cookies with tranquilizers baked in the wafers, or I mean, what, you know?
Imagine if Julia Hoffman from Dark Shadows got her hands on those for like Vicky and like everyone in the house, she would totally have her way.
Everybody. Oh God. Yeah. Don't even get me going on that. Get me going on Julia Hoffman. But I thought it was an enjoyable episode, because clearly Samantha needs to, you know, here we go with the women needing to be independent kind of thing. You know, women for the most part were housewives in the 60s, and they drove, but a lot of, you know, it just seemed, I don't think I could survive the 60s any more than I could survive medieval England. Knowing what I know.
Oh, geez.
It is a little cringe.
Yeah, Darren was a total prick.
It's a little cringe. I get a little cringe every once in a while, because I just can't imagine, you know, it's like, I have to ask for money to get driving lessons. I have to ask for money to do this. I mean, I get it. It's a partnership. You know, you stay home and you take care of the hearth and home, which I have absolutely.
But that doesn't really seem like a partnership. I mean, he does
sometimes
go to work and stuff,
acts.
But you know,
but she does eventually straighten him out. I mean, she
yeah.
does
most of the time. I don't feel like she did that in this episode at all. And that's kind of what frustrated me about the episode, was that that didn't happen. It was just more about her being nice to, I forget Pauline's character's name in this episode.
Harold.
What was it?
Harold.
Harold. Yeah. It was just about kind of like being nice to him and getting him his job back, even though he was a bad driver. But she did somehow, and that's one of the traits that Samantha always brings to the show. She like has this, she instills confidence in the characters in the show, which I think is an endearing trait of Samantha's character.
Raw kindness, you know, that you don't
see
in a lot of characters,
which is exactly. I mean, and Darren needs that. I was totally annoyed in the beginning when she was, you know, trying to figure out how to drive, and Darren just didn't have the patience for it.
It's true.
So,
guys
yeah,
don't have patience for some shit. They just don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And just acts like it's super obvious.
I like this episode and I found it cute, but I have something to say that it's a weird episode though, because the thing is, if you're a fan of Bewitched, you know that, you know, he's Uncle Arthur, isn't he? So when you see him in a role that's not Uncle Arthur, and the thing is, I love Paul Lynn, and even when he films Bye Bye Birdie and Hollywood Squares or whatever he did, I mean, basically, he didn't have a large acting role, did he? I mean, as far as, he pretty much had one way of acting, and he did that for everything, sort of thing. So it's kind of like watching
no,
Uncle
that's
Arthur.
No, that's true.
Uncle Arthur, but that, so
I love
kind of
him
like,
now. I love
him. Oh, I do love him. I found it really funny.
Charlotte's Web.
Yeah.
Even for Charlotte's Web, you recognize his voice instantly as the rat. And Dora actually plays the goose in Charlotte's Web as well. So it's like this weird little reunion.
that's true.
But it is very weird to see him like not playing Uncle Arthur in Bewitched. So you're kind of like, you're watching it and it's like, he's really funny because he does that really nervous thing very, very easy, very, very well. And that's what he's probably really excels at. But at the same time, you're thinking of going, you keep thinking it's Uncle Arthur. A mortal Uncle Arthur is kind of weird.
Well, he does do the nervous thing, and you know, he thinks he's going nuts because she's supposed to parallel park the car, and she just moves it in sideways, like, just totally screwed.
That
with
was
him, you
hysterical.
Know? You know, he doesn't know what to think, and then he leaves his car there, you know, and so they have to go back, of course, get it back because we get his job because he's a lousy whatever. But then, but doesn't in the end, a lot of people are going to take driving lessons from him, so he does do. Overcome whatever anxieties he has because Samantha's nice to him.
And she Adelaide knows. And his mom and his sister totally dominate him.
Yeah. Oh my God.
He goes, Paul Lynn always has like people like really weird names like Adelaide. Adelaide.
The way he said it was so funny. I mean, Adelaide is kind of a funny word, funny name too.
They pass him around. They pass him around, you know, like a pipe. He get to the family. He gets fired. Then he goes to the next brother-in-law or whatever. And he keeps going to all the family businesses. You know, everybody gets to turn fire in and iron him. You know, so what an existence that's got to begin with. I'd be a nervous wreck, too, if I had to deal with the in-laws and the outlaws all the time.
Oh, it would be so funny to see him as, like, I don't know, Aunt Adelaide's hairdresser. Like, she has, like, a boutique or like a hairdressing shop and he's the stylist and totally messes up someone's hair. That would be a funny episode.
Adelaide.
Adelaide. He always plays like kind of a mama's boy though, doesn't he?
Kind of. So. Well, he's kind of a different kind of, he's just different. You know, he kind of stands apart. I mean, he's not like a typical or atypical actor. I mean, like Keith said, he just has that one specialty kind of, you know, yeah. I've never seen him in anything serious. I don't believe.
No, I don't know if he'd be able to play serious. Apparently, he's a real son of a bitch, though.
What I heard. I don't know for real, but
really?
That's
I can that's see it. I can see that actually.
I can. He just looks all fuzzy.
I think he has some demons.
I can see him being like a snide, bitchy kind of, you know, thing going
bitchy
on.
Queen.
I can totally
bitchy queen. There
see
you go.
That. Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe
exactly.
Back then,
that
you gotta admit that
I think that was what it was.
It was frowned upon. People weren't out, you know. I'd be kind of, a lot of people were frustrated by that.
Well, I mean, he did extremely well playing that kind of character and making a living out of it. And I mean, to be honest, I think his outside of Bewitched, I think his biggest role was Hollywood Squares for all those years. He was always the center square. And he was very good at ad-libbing. You know, you threw something at him and he volley it back. And to be honest, sometimes he volley it back and there's that mean twist to it as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
And you could always tell who he didn't get on the squares as well, because you kind of do this kind of like this side sarcastic bitchy comment about them, which made him lovable. I mean, the great thing about him is like, if you go onto YouTube and put Paul in Hollywood Squares and you'll see his best moments and they're really funny.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he always threw some zingers, you know, but I kind of assumed he might have ad-libbed even as Uncle Arthur, because I think he was one of those people that get rolling sometimes.
He's also king of double entendre, though, isn't it? There's always slightly smutty underneath everything he's saying as well.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit sexual.
Sexual innuendo. But I thought it was a cute episode. Like I said, it was typical of the time probably for women to take driving lessons for one. And you know, it's like, God, they used to come to your door and pick you up. I mean, things were just so different. They don't do that anymore. I mean, everybody's got a background check and an FBI background check.
Doctors used to make house calls.
You know, I mean, you just don't call up somebody, hey, I need a driving lesson. You can't do that anymore. Things have changed in the last 50 years.
I had something to say, though, to further what Jesse said about Darren teaching Samantha to drive. I had to sit there and say that when you're in a relationship, the person you're in a relationship with is the worst person to teach you to do anything.
Yeah.
It's true. It's totally true.
It's been like when I was learning Spanish, Isaac was helping me and got to the point where, like, you need to stop helping me because you're irritating the hell out of me.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like I'd be really proud and I'm trying to pronounce something and he's like sort of thing. And I remember an ex teaching me how to drive and I was just getting on my nerves. It's like, I'm better off, give me a stranger. Stranger is always better.
Well, even like with friends, like I got two different jobs I had working with friends and then my brother. And it totally caused like a huge rift that lasted for way too long in our friendship, our relationships. And so I just wouldn't recommend that. You need space from
family businesses
to respect those boundaries.
Family businesses. Just
yeah.
Trust me, I'm half Italian.
Yeah, but you know the thing is, though, I think what it is that because if a stranger's teaching you something, you're a bit more open to it. But if it's someone that you know, any little bit of criticism they say to you, you just take it personally, don't you?
Like to one person,
well, because both people have bias.
Another person, it's a boulder you've just lobbed, you know?
Yeah, because and I think it's because both people have bias. You have bias towards what they might say or how they view you, and they also have a bias towards you, and they can't neither one of you is usually objective, but a stranger can usually come in and have like an objective, unbiased perspective. That too. So you probably respect someone's unbiased and a more objective view, I guess.
Right.
I guess there's one game I used to play on Xbox called Left 4 Dead. And Left 4 Dead basically is you're in a zombie apocalypse. You have four characters. When you play as one of these different characters, you need to have to work together to get from point A to point B. And at one time, these three girls came on, and I was playing with them. And they actually were really good friends. And the two girls were teaching this other girl how to play. And it was so funny because you got your headphones on and you can hear everyone's conversations and you're talking and they're going. And next thing you know, it's like, Sherry to go, Sherry, don't go running ahead. You can't go running ahead. You have to sit together. And of course, her character goes running ahead. Next thing you see is this thing jumping on top of her, tearing her. And all of a sudden, her friend goes, "That's right, Sherry. Go running off on your own. Every time you get a boyfriend, then what do? You go running off and forget all your friends. And then we have to come and rescue you when they bloody dump you." And then you see other characters running after trying to save her. And the thing is, the whole conversation during this game was this. And you could tell what the dynamics of the relationship was. But it always kind of reminds me of this kind of like, where if she was, if she was on her own learning with a bunch of strangers, you probably wouldn't have got that. And then they have like this argument, "I don't always go running off when I have a boyfriend. I try to include you guys." No, you're running off just like you just did there.
Yeah, you make it personal. That's exactly what happens though.
I had something to say. That was my best gaming experience in my life, just playing with those three girls in a relationship. So this brings us to episode 27, There's No Witch Like an Old Witch. When a depressed Aunt Clara volunteers to babysit for a friend of Samantha and Darren's, her magical tricks with toys and games make her a success, and she quickly becomes the most popular caretaker in the neighborhood. But after she tells her charges that she is a witch, a suspicious mother brings her before a judge for a competency hearing. Rita Shaw appears again as Bertha. So, Jesse, what are your thoughts of this?
I liked this episode. It was nice to see that Aunt Clara had a little bit more to do. I feel like actually Darren and Samantha were more absent, even though it's more of their show. And it was kind of exclusively Aunt Clara's episode, which was kind of interesting because usually she's kind of just there with Darren and Samantha in the house. Usually when Darren's parents are over or something and they have to make jokes to cover Aunt Clara admitting that she's a witch to everybody because that's just what happens. Oh, she's just old. But yeah, it was at first when I saw that little kid, I did think it was that same guy, that same little kid from the Christmas episode, the one that Samantha took to the North Pole. I always forget what that little kid's name is, but he's in so many different things.
I think
really good actor.
Billy Mummy from
something. Yeah. I'm honestly not sure how I could forget a name like that because that's such an interesting name. But I thought it was a fun episode. That's all I have to say on that so far.
I love this episode.
Mm-hmm,
I
do.
I
knew you would. When I saw it, I knew it would be your favorite.
The thing is like, first of all, a girl can never wear enough blue eyeshadow.
No.
And we get eyeshadow up the wazoo in this episode. We both and Dora and Clara. But another thing I like about this episode is that you also see, and the thing is, I think that you know, Elizabeth Montgomery and Dick York loved Mary and Lorne.
Yeah.
Because you see the love that they have for Aunt Clara.
Oh, you can tell. It was such an endearing episode. That's the only word I got for it. Endearing. Because look, you could see Dick York's being, you know, when he's doing his scene with her and helping her get into the car. And you could tell he just genuinely likes her. He can't stand Endora or Serena or the rest of the people that come into the picture. But he loves Aunt Clara. And that's why I thought it was so endearing, this episode. I mean, I don't remember seeing this one either. I mean, some of these I haven't seen before. So, I mean, it's really cool to see these, you know, with fresh eyes for a change. So I like it a lot. And she's such a sweetie.
And what I like about the Aunt Clara episodes is that there's always a lot of heart in it.
Yeah.
There's always so much heart in it. But they also, I like the simple fact that the message is giving is like, old people are not to be thrown away.
No.
That's the typical message. And I like that. And the thing is that, you know, and another thing is that, you know, especially like when they're in front of the judge and she asked, you know, she's at this competency hearing. And, you know, the thing is you got, you know, Samantha behind her like, oh no, she's, you know, on tender hooks, like, oh my God, they're going to lock her away. But, you know, Aunt Clara just being Aunt Clara just wins everyone over.
Well, she's so kind. And the thing is, you know, as you get older, you know, even I forget what I've walked into the room for lately. I was sitting there thinking the other day, I keep seeing these ads for Prevagen. I'm half tempted to start buying it because, I mean, I'll literally walk in.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm serious. I get forgetful. It must be all that pot I smoked in college. But, I mean, you just, it's so easy to forget what you're in the room for, you know, and she's just so... It, because older people do get like that, and you have to love on them. I love old people, you know. I just think I love their stories. I love what they represent. I love their history. You know, my grandfather was alive. He was from Rome, you know, and he came here as a young boy. He was 13 when he left, but he would tell me stories about everything that happened in his childhood and in Rome and the things that he remembers during the world wars and everything. It just, old people have so much to offer everybody if we just listen to them, literally. And that's why I like this episode, because they are worth, they do have worth, you know?
And I love the way that, you know, she's looking, every time she walks into the room, she's looking at the doorknob.
She had a doorknob collection. Does she not in real life, or did she not in real life?
In real life, she actually did collect doorknobs, and they added that as like a little unique thing, which I think we talked about that earlier in previous episodes, how I always admired how in the show they kind of took real life quirks that the actor had and then implemented that as like their witchy thing that they did. Because like Samantha... Elizabeth Montgomery actually did like twitch her nose when she had to like itch it or whatever. And it was like a little thing that she did. And then she, Marion Lauren collected doorknobs in real life. And I thought it was cool how they implemented those little quirks that each of the actors had as like their version of their witchy thing that they did or something.
Right.
And they become like, and then they're iconic, aren't they?
Yes.
They are. Yeah. And it's so unique. It's not something that you would think of, but it totally makes sense. Because even within like magic circles, like a witch's magic spells or the way that they conduct magic is unique to them. Like they have to figure out their own way to do it. Even if you read from a manual or something, they have to figure out their own way to do it. So it kind of works for both of those to make it like a unique, fun, unique thing, but also sticks to that whole like belief system as well. So it's kind of cool.
It's nice to see Durwood like somebody in the family that belongs to Samantha, you know, because he just genuinely dislikes everybody. Wait till Uncle Arthur. Speaking of Uncle Arthur,
it's Darren. It's Darren.
Durwood.
But you know, another thing is that. And there's that one time. I mean, in a previous episode, where Darren had to talk to
Sarah
because his parents are over.
Yes.
And you could tell that he felt really, really bad about it.
He didn't want to hurt her feelings.
He didn't want to hurt her feelings. And that's the thing about Aunt Clara. You never want to hurt her feelings. Even when, you know, unfortunately, I mean, we got about 3 seasons of Aunt Clara because the real actress dies in the middle of productions of, after like 3 seasons. And then we get
Alice, so sad.
Esmeralda coming in after this. But, But the thing about Marion Lauren, the actress who plays Aunt Clara, I mean, we did, of course, we did Strangers on a Train, and she the horrible mother to the killer in it.
Yeah.
And she was a really good actress. I mean, she was a fantastic actress. I mean, she's always going to be Aunt Clara. But if you do catch her in some old films, she was a fantastic actress. She knew exactly. She knew she would have like little quirks and stuff that she would add to her
character. That was such a weird movie, Strangers on a Train. The book was even more weirder.
Yeah, it was a lot of homosexual undertones in that.
But
you know, this also comes from this, that all the Aunt Clara episodes are all written by the same couple, which I think that's also as well. I thought.
Well, you can tell the style that somebody has. It's different writing that you can tell. You know,
and another thing I noticed,
you can definitely tell.
And have you also noticed that there's also been some story carry through as well? And next episode we get a little bit more story carry on, where basically it's like normally we get an episode and then everything's forgotten about, and then it's the next episode. We're here, we got, you know, Aunt Clara's story is continuing. So you could actually take all the Aunt Clara episodes so far and put them together and have like a decent movie sort of thing.
That's true. So
they've done that with her.
Oh yeah, it is true. And that's totally
I just think it's not common for a sitcom. She wins over the judge in the end because you think, not that they were going to arrest her or do anything to her, but they thought she was too much of a crackpot, I guess, to be, you know, being around children. And she loves little children. And basically all she was doing when she was babysitting is doing little parlor tricks for them and whatnot. And it was just so great to see her win over the judge in the end with just honesty. And she's just a sweet little old lady. Just like, I just love her in this episode. It's great.
I mean, can you imagine if she's your babysitter and it's like, and she gives you that great big pillow?
Oh, I know. It's like, oh, hell yeah. It's like, I want babysitters like that. The kids adored her. She was like Mary Poppins, you know?
Well, we need to talk about that bitchy mother, that horrible mother.
Oh, yeah, that care.
I mean, God forbid, if she's so obsessed about her children, she might want to fix her children's teeth. They're like the worst teeth ever. Like, I've never seen,
awful.
I mean, there are so many spaces between each teeth that you can sit there and use their mouth for a place to store your bikes. but both kids had really, I mean, like, the weirdest mouths ever.
Well, back then, they used to pull baby teeth sometimes.
Yeah, but, you know, it's very rare that on TV that you see two kids in the same scene with the bad.
I'm going to have to go back and pay closer attention because I was not focusing on their teeth.
It was basically like, you know, like when you have that mad scientist and they put those weird teeth in, like Jerry Lewis would go, you know, when Jerry Lewis is playing like the nutty professor and he would put the weird teeth in. Those kids had those teeth, but they were just normal for them. So I thought, ooh, how weird teeth. So this brings us to episode 28, Open the Door, Witchcraft. Samantha uses her powers to open her garage door as Gladys is watching from across the street. Darren and Samantha buy an electric garage door to avoid further suspicions from Gladys, but unseen mortal technology causes additional problems and suspicions. So what did you think about this one, Jesse?
This might have been my favorite episode, maybe. Trying to remember. Yeah, I thought it was really good. Yeah, I thought it was really fun. That's all I know of. I can't think of anything to say about it.
It's the garage door.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
Yeah,
I thought it was funny. I mean, because for the first time, Samantha's not really using witchcraft, and you got a plane that's hooked up to the same frequency flying over the house, keeps opening and shutting the garage because they sequentially did not hook it up properly. And then you see Abner getting more involved, but I mean, there wasn't a lot of madcap to it like it normally is, except when they got locked in the garage together because she was getting mad at him because he always doubts her, says, you've been doing this with her nose thing. You know, he grabs, you know, that does.
Yeah.
And so I think it's poor Darren. She always puts him in his place, but he doesn't ever believe her. And you would think that after all this time, she always comes clean if she's done something.
Yeah.
And he was not giving her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. And that's what frustrates me about Darren. Yeah. That's
You're
what frustrates me about
mad at Darren
specifically,
Jesse.
Is that I am, because he never trusts her. He has no reason at all to you think that she's lying or being dishonest, but he always does. When something goes wrong, he automatically blames her or her mother Adora. For something, which blaming Adora makes a little bit Adora. Of sense, but blaming Samantha for like a mishap or something bad, I think that's a little over
well,
the
you
top
have to
and
have
Darren continues to do it. Like he never learns.
Well, you have to have some kind of protagonist or antagonist going on to get the story going, you know.
I guess, but I mean, but it's sad that it has to be Darren all the time, because then Darren sometimes looks like the bad guy, which if they had other characters and if Samantha were able to venture outside the house, maybe some of that heat could have been taken off of Darren, but because she was always the housewife, always at home, always going grocery shopping, she was very restricted into what she was able to do. So I think that's why Darren oftentimes, unless they bring on a character for an episode, Darren is usually kind of the protagonist, which is kind of strange.
Well,
I mean, because they should be a team working together on this.
Women did take care of the home.
It's true. I get it. I know.
I totally get that. Yeah, I have to say though that Darren doesn't really go off the handle too much here.
No,
you know, like when you know, the thing is, she does the door thing. She gets caught by, you know, let's face it, it's like, you know, so Samantha does that little kid who's just been caught by the neighbors doing something that she shouldn't be doing, and you know, and Darren doesn't go over. That goes, you know, Darren's like, fine, we'll just have to buy, you know, he's like, we'll just have to buy. I'm gonna have to forget my fishing equipment for my trip, and we'll have to buy this instead. And he doesn't really lose it with her, so I'd sit there and say that. And then you had the situation, and Adora pops in and she goes, "Mom, was it you?" And she says, "No." But I mean, the best line is from Adora in this whole thing. Is that has to be the best scene for me, is when she goes, "Oh, what's Darwin done now?" And Samantha tells the story. She goes, "Oh, what a dull story." She goes, "What a dull short story." But, you know, so you get a little bit of Adora in there. So that's always a plus. And then you get your Gladys and Abner, and you get a little bit more of Abner than we normally see, sort of thing. And but yeah, I mean, it was kind of, I liked this episode, but it's more of one of the more subdued episodes, I would have
to say. It was very subdued.
You know,
the endearing episode. I like it when there's a little more action. I have to say, subdued is probably a good adjective for this episode. It wasn't outstandingly great, but it didn't suck either. I mean,
yeah, I think it's one of those filler episodes, because they do have those from time to time. Right?
Well,
or they have just,
everyday,
you know, like
life.
A filler episode.
Life in the day, I guess.
That
know?
Too.
Life yeah. in the suburbs. But we did get some more carry on. You know, we got an episode, you know, the first episode we cover is Samantha learning to drive. Now Samantha's driving.
That's true. Samantha's driving. Pleasure is still not next door yet. We totally forgot about all the neighbors except for the Kravitzes, who want to see about the getting a garage door themselves, because it just opens and closes. It opens and closes. Then they're just standing there when the garage door opens.
I wish they're
dummies. I mean, does anybody not know that
I wish
they're always constantly
more...
looking in their window, standing on that stoop, looking in their window? They're always at that, the Stevens's window. You know, it's like, stop.
I mean, it's not like she's not peering through the window. She's actually standing on something now to look in the window.
I mean, she is the biggest busybody ever. What were you saying, Jess?
I found out what I also like about this episode is that Samantha does what I do in an argument in a relationship. It's like, you know, when someone goes, "Oh, I don't want you to do that again," and then you have to do what they told you not to do again, and I'll refuse to do it. It's like, fine, you told me not to do it again. It's up to you.
Right, yeah, exactly.
We'll be stuck here, and I kind of associate with that because I do stuff like that. It's like, Keith, how dare you do that? I never want you to do that again. And then the opportunity comes that I need to do that, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. I mean, we'll just be stuck in this situation until that person has to figure out how to get themselves out of that situation, because that won't help them. It's like, fine.
Right.
You told me not to comment on it. I'm not commenting on it. I don't care what happens. I do that little thing that Samantha does, and I quite like that. You know, I mean, as far as, you know, technology is concerned, I'm not sure if an airplane flying over would have the same kind of radio waves to open and close
things. They got the idea from somewhere, I guess. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you just never know. It's sort of like, yeah, like having walkie talkies. Remember back in the day, and you had we would run around with walkie talkies, and we were kids, the big ones. But you would pick up truckers on Interstate 81 sometimes coming through.
Yeah,
you know, that was the big deal. It's like, oh my God, there's a trucker on here. It's like,
but you know something, it's not the most secure kind of garage door to have, though. Because the thing is like, she has the button, which looks like one of the old TV remote button things that used to do, that changed channels back in the day. But then it's like, and then you go out, and then you close the door, or you can open the door using the button in front of the door. So basically, it's like, does that mean anyone can push that button and like steal your stuff out of your garage?
Right.
It's like
our garage door, we got a lock on it, and you know, it locks, and we got a thing you pull on it over here so no one can get in.
Here, you just push the button and it just goes up or down, sort of thing outside, right next to the door as well. So you don't even have to look for it.
I know, it's just there. Yeah, there's no way to lock it, really. I mean, they must have had a locking mechanism, but they didn't really have the combination kind of thing going on back then in 67.
I'm not quite sure. I mean, I don't know about anything about garage door openers in those days. I mean, it was a newfangled thing. This is new technology at the time. But I did think that if it was realistic, and that's, you know, you don't have to get out of your car to open your garage, and then you kind of go in. But then I guess this is before you used to lock your houses, maybe.
Yeah.
At night.
Well, remember when we were kids, we used to leave the doors open, you know, when we were younger. You can't do that in Watertown anymore. Hell no.
You can, but, you know.
Can't do that anywhere anymore.
Well, you know, you can. You just got to hope that the person that breaks into your house doesn't watch a Pepe Le Pew and want to rape you.
Yeah, so. I know. Or smoke all of your meth.
Smoke all your meth.
They didn't touch my bed.
Lord.
So this brings us to our part of the episode where we talk about our favorite character and our least favorite character from these episodes. And let's start with Vicky, because Vicky loves this segment.
I have to say it's going to be Aunt Clara, the Aunt Clara episode, out of this whole block, because I just thought it was really sweet and endearing. And it was kind of, and it's just kind of nice knowing that when you're old, somebody's going to, you know, find worth and value in you as a human being. And that's what she was really looking for. She was kind of getting lonely and her feeling kind of useless and nothing she could do. And then she found something that she was really good at. She was really good with children. So I thought it was a great episode. And I love Aunt Clara in this. She just could do no wrong in this episode.
And your least favorite?
Oh, my least favorite. I thought
yes.
Space me out. I mean, my least favorite character or episode.
No, least favorite character.
Character. Oh, God. It's always like, it have to be the Paul Lynn's brother-in-law.
Yeah.
He was such a crass individual for his short time, you know, being the boss or whatever. And he was, you know, he was crass. He was probably a great little character actor in his own right. But as far as, you know, probably not my favorite character in this block, that would have to be him.
And about yourself, Jesse, who's your favorite and least favorite character?
I guess my favorite character is maybe Samantha. I don't know. And my least favorite, I think, is probably Pleasure, to be honest. I mean, I thought the episode was funny, but she's so obnoxious. I kind of want to like take a paddle and like either hit her in the head with it and like say, hey, get some brain cells. You need them. Because she's just so, either she's really dumb or just really, really manipulative or something. Like, I was so confused when she was on the ground and she knew she was not unconscious, but she was still laying on the ground as if she was unconscious and then admitted that. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, are you stupid? Like, what's going on?
Making a point for Samantha's old man. That's what's going on.
But she admitted it to both of them. So how is that manipulation? Like, manipulation usually is deceptive and you're doing things undercover and secretly, but she's just so dumb. And she revealed like her own tactic. I don't know. It was hard to make of what she was all about.
And what was your favorite character?
My favorite character was Samantha. I don't know. I think she does a really good job of, you know, bringing those endearing traits and, you know, all this other stuff and carrying the role or just handling situations really well. Like, I don't know. Like, I wish I could handle situations as well as she did. Like when it comes to conflict or arguments, just be able to handle them and let them have, you know, their way, even though you know that you're right, just let them make their own mistakes and, you know, in their own way, let them see that they're wrong, like later on down the line. But I'm not so good with that sort of thing. So
now my favorite character, Aunt Kara, of course, because my heart just goes out to her. Every time I see her, I'm just so happy. It's like if she pops up in an episode,
she just makes you happy looking at her. You know,
I'm going to get honorary mention to Rita Shaw as Bertha. I love her.
Great. She is. She's an excellent character actress.
And I kind of wish that they would actually give a whole, I could actually do with a whole episode with her in it, just her
at some point.
I wish they would show her witch family more, because I would like to see more of them too. You always see like more of the mortals, the more boring, mundane people on this show. But sometimes it would be nice to have more of the witchy stuff going on.
Yeah, more like Bertha and those kind of characters. Mm. And the other one that last time we saw Bertha, there was another witch that was there as well. The one who like was with a T. I can't remember her name, but she was like an old actress.
Yeah, I don't remember her name. I don't remember either. Yeah. So. And then you do get a character. You do get an actress that's from Mary Poppins in there, which is totally fitting. I forget what her name is. She's the redheaded one. What's her name? She was one of the maids in Mary Poppins.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Rita Shaw was in Mary Poppins as well. Bertha was.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? They were both in Mary Poppins.
He was in a lot of stuff, actually.
Both playing, yeah.
Well, Rita Shaw was also in a musical called The Pajama Game with Doris Day, but she also did it on Broadway as well. And she's fantastic. It's like, if you ever get a chance to listen to the soundtrack of the movie production of it, and listen to her, I'll never get tired again, or I'll never, And when she just starts, when she just goes, she just does her lines and she sings, and it's like, oh my God, it's Rita Shaw. You get so excited. So she's fantastic. My least favorite character has to be Paul Lynn's brother. I think it's just because it's kind of like, but then again, it's got like you got three lines and you have to like throw your character across. So I guess it's kind of like, it was a whole, but I had to pick a least character one. So now we're to this segment where we pick our favorite episode and our least favorite episode. Starting with you, Jesse, what's your favorite episode and least favorite episode?
I don't know. This one is harder for me to pick like a favorite episode. Let me see. What was the first one we covered again?
Pleasure, O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah, I didn't really like that one. It was a fun episode, but it wasn't my favorite. Maybe I might have liked maybe the driving episode or the Aunt Clara one. One of those two. I'll put a tie to both of those because I can't really pick one.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Fix, what was your favorite episode and your least favorite episode?
I'd have to go with the Aunt Clara episode. I really enjoyed that one a lot because it was a little heartwarming, and I think that was one of those days where I needed macaroni and cheese and comfort food. It was a comfort day when I watched that. So I like watching things like that are endearing every once in a while. It's a nice break from my slasher flicks where people are getting ears and body parts cut off with chainsaws. So it was refreshing. And I'd have to say, I don't know if it was driving or was it no, that was the one I like.
Driving is the only way to fly.
Or maybe it was open door witchcraft. It's probably my least favorite.
Open the door witchcraft.
Yeah, I liked it, but I mean, out of all of them, I would say that it was my least favorite of all of them. There really wasn't any specific reason other than it was, what's the word you said? Subdued. It was kind of a subdued, usually this is a little more light and engaging, and this one wasn't that engaging, I guess is the word I want to use.
I guess my least favorite is probably Open the Door Witchcraft. I did like, the interplay with Samantha and Darren. But you kind of get this buildup of Gladys at the beginning, going through the glass door, and you think, "Oh, this is gonna be a fun episode." But they kind of peter out by the end of the episode, and it becomes about their relationship stuck in the car. And I mean, it's it's fine, but it's like, you know, but I probably won't remember it, like, you know, a year from now when we're discussing whatever episodes we're on. It probably is not going to be forefront of my mind. And my favorite, it's got to be There's No Witch Like an Old Witch, because I love the humor, I love the melancholiness of it, and I love the emotion that goes behind it. And then when Aunt Clara explains herself, you get that kind of music to play.
I know. It was just like, oh, it's so heartwarming. I feel like that.
But even like at the close of it, when they said Darren's going to drive her to the train station. She has her thing where she bounces into the wall. Obviously, you know, her witchcraft is not going there, but Darren's going to take care of her. It doesn't matter. And it's nice to see
that he actually likes somebody.
You know, even when she passes that hors d'oeuvre and hits him in the face, you know, he's fine about it, sort of thing. So, and then she's like, you know, and just the way she does her character, and there's, I shudder. If there's a person out there that doesn't like Aunt Clara, I think that they should be on death row.
Exactly. How do you not like Aunt Clara? There's just no way.
So that brings us to the end of the Literary License Podcast, episode of Bewitch, episodes 25 through 28. Next month, we'll be doing Bewitch, episodes 29 to 32. And we're going to get a little bit more follow through with some of the storylines, which will be quite interesting. And next week is our Nature versus Man, and we'll be covering two Lovecraftian, one actually based on a Lovecraft short story, and another one having the Lovecraft theme through it, and that'll be The Beach House from 2019 and The Color Out of Space from 2019. And of course, we'll be carrying on with our Dark Shadows, and then after that, our classic novels will be Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift. And we'll be doing the film, The Three Worlds of Gulliver by Ray Harryhausen, the same guy in the Argonauts. So what I'll do is I'll bid you all farewell. So farewell for myself. And good night, Jesse.
Night, Jess.
Night, folks.
Wake up, Jess.
Good night, Vic.
Night, everybody.
And we'll see you next week with Nature versus Man, The Color of Space.
After one whole quart of brandy, like a daisy, I'm awake. With no Broma seltzer handy, I don't even shake. Men are not a new sensation. I've done pretty well, I think. But this half-pint imitation put me on the blink. I'm wild again, beguiled again. A simpering, whimpering child again. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered. Couldn't sleep and wouldn't sleep when love came and told me I shouldn't sleep. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. Lost my heart, but what of it? He is cold, I agree. He can laugh, but I love it. Although the laugh's on me, I'll sing to him. Spring to him and long for the day when I'll cling to him. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. He's a fool and don't I know it, but a fool can't have his charms. I'm in love and don't I show it, like a babe in arms. Love's the same old sad sensation, lately I've not slept a wink. Since this half-pint imitation put me on the blink. I've sinned a lot, I mean a lot, but I'm like sweet 17 a lot. Bewitched, bothered and bewildered am I. Sing to him each spring to him and worship the trousers that cling to him. Bewitched, bothered and bewildered am I. When he talks, he is seeking words to get off his chest. Horizontally speaking, he's at his very best. Vexed again, perplexed again. Thank God I can be oversexed again. Bewitched, bothered and bewildered am I. Wise at last, my eyes at last are cutting you down to your size at last. Bewitched, bothered and bewildered no more. Burned a lot but learned a lot, and now you are broke so you earned a lot. Bewitched, bothered and bewildered no more. Couldn't eat, was dyspeptic, life was so hard to bear. Now my heart's antiseptic since you moved out of there. Romance, Finny, your chance, Finny. Those ants that invaded my pants, Finny. Bewitched, bothered, and bewitched.